Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Is this Jake or is this Tom?
Tom wouldn't play this. You know, Jacob. Jake,
what in the milk of magnesia are you doing here, butt man?
Come on.
Yo, listen. I am
Let me know. That's what I'm saying. You don't listen. Say hey, I'm not as simple. Can't just read the exterior of me. You can't see the braids. You can't see the cargo pants. Don't think I ain't about that.
Don't
rock
judge
life,
this book
son.
By its cover.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, Jake. Yeah. Go ahead and say it, baby. No, I'm saying it for you, Jake. I ain't against you. I'm with you.
That's
I'm letting people know
Jake.
The type of wide range we got. You know what I'm saying? We can talk about wrestling. We can talk about hood rat stuff. We can talk about cannabis. 40 ounces, cowboys, Beyonce's whack. First of all,
you can't talk about what's on screen number one, though. That's just for me. You guys can't talk about that anymore.
Yeah, I'm screen number three, so I can care less.
Yeah, you're fine on screen three, but after what you guys said about screen one, I'm never going to let you talk about it again. you are not allowed to have an opinion anymore.
It's funny because
I'm right about screen one.
When Alan's not in studio, screen one looks a whole lot better. I'm just saying.
What, do you change the channel?
You know what's crazy, man? Like, one thing I really hate is that when somebody does something and because nobody pays attention to them until somebody else does it, they act like they invented it.
What's that?
This whole Beyonce country music thing is to me a mockery, man. It's the second time she's done it. I think she did it to Azealia Banks, who – you know, this the go-go music when she made an album, and they act like she created the genre.
Why is that a problem?
Because they give her, she's the number one country singer, and oh my God, like, you know how many black country singers there are out there that's doing their thing?
Yeah.
And they act like, because she did it, like, oh, look, it's R&B. K. Michelle left doing regular R&B because she was tired of the business maybe 5 years ago, and she's an outstanding singer, man.
Say R&B? I think I stayed at that.
Yeah. It's rhythm, blues, and bulls. You know what I'm saying? So, like, what I'm saying is
I stayed at an Airbnb. I like those.
Yeah, man. You know what I'm saying? Make sure they weren't recording you and what you'd be doing in your spare time. You know what I'm saying? I just don't like that, man. Like, listen, I rock with Beyonce. First of all, the song that I heard don't even sound country. It's the type of twang that you have when you sing in country, man. And, mm-hmm. and she didn't sound like
it. Well, it's like Taylor Swift used to sound country when she was younger, and then she changed it when she went pop. She kind of took that country twang out of her music.
Right.
You know, you can do that. But that's like –
But I don't like that. It's so many people –
Darius Rucker, who we've had on our show, right? He's a friend of the show.
But they look at him like he's old school. I'm talking about a lot of young
– But he was Hootie and the Blowfish. He was a pop, like – not grunge, but he was a rock pop kind of band. And then he went to what his roots were, which is country.
Right. But I just hate that, man. I just hate that because, like, we don't – like, all of a sudden, they act like she reinventing the wheel. This is the second time she's done that.
Well,
like,
that's what happens when you have famous – like, she's over-the-top famous.
She got the
you
machine. She got the machine behind her. And I just hate that because K. Michelle been there making country for maybe 5 years. And she started off in R&B.
R&B.
R&B. You know what I'm saying? You know, and you know, she got tired because she had a bad reputation.
Now I want a roast beef sandwich in the worst way.
A roast beef and beef.
You have me craving Arby's.
Listen, I finally found one Arby's.
There's one in Queens. There's one in Long Island. I think that I know. Like
the problem with
that Farmingdale.
The problem is they sandwiches don't look at that roast beef sandwich. Do not look like it's hitting on nothing.
Like, San Francisco,
they're petty, man.
In the right moment.
They're petty, man. Look gangster.
If my stomach's literally growling as I'm stuck in traffic and I'm in Queens, I know exactly. I'm getting off the highway. I'm going to sit through it. I will go through that.
The roast beef? That's what you eat?
If it's that bad, I get the double roast beef.
Is that good?
I don't care. You give me the Arby's sauce, done. I'll sit there and just stuff my face sitting in traffic.
You're a regular. What is the Arby's sauce? I've never heard of Arby's sauce.
It's their barbecue sauce-ish, whatever it's made of.
Because Arby's.
I don't care at that point. I'm too hungry to care, and I just see that cowboy hat, and I'm like, I got to do it. It be calling me.
Finding an Arby's is like finding an A&W.
Yeah.
Like, yes. It's like 10 of them all around in the world.
Yeah. Like right, you hear the angels like, sing when you see the hat. You're
people
like
A&W. It's
Arby's.
People like A&W. What the hell is that? Yeah. Go get your root beer float.
Yeah.
Get your chili cheese dog, double cheeseburger. I ain't never went to Arby's in my life, man.
Hit a Wawa, same thing. Once you see that, you're like, whoa, wait a minute, that's a Wawa.
See, Wawa's the only thing I've been to out of everything you named so far.
You have Wawa's taken over.
You've never been to an Arby's?
Wawa's taken over,
never
bro.
Been to Arby's. I've been to Friendly's. I've been to...
Friendly's too hits.
Friendly's like
Denny's. The right moment
Friendly's like
hits.
Denny's. Friendly's like Denny's.
No, it is not.
It is like Denny's. You get breakfast all day. You get breakfast all day. It's like a little diner. It's just a diner.
It is, but it's different. Because you know they closed a whole bunch of them now.
There
aren't many left anymore, the Friendlies. There's not many left.
And we don't get many waffle spots up here, so this is like our waffle spot, our waffle house to go to.
Yeah, you can go there and get a meal that's not that bad. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But like, yeah, like Wawa, listen, it is an attack. Wawa is moving from, they used to be South Jersey, Philadelphia. Yep. No, Wawa's coming up and they taking over this Quick Check, because Quick Check was its stuff up here for us.
Yep.
They come, it is an assault on Quick Check.
So there's an A&W. So Drew tells me on Twitter there's an A&W on Staten Island.
Yo.
I might sit through the traffic
Those chili cheese fries are real, son.
Yeah.
Real cheese. Not real cheese, but the good melted cheese.
All right, let's get back to 800-919-3776, of course, is the number. We'll get back to the calls here momentarily. Again, if you're just joining us, Nick's injury update, it's a good one. OG Anunoby, according to the reporters at practice today, Tom Thibodeau saying – that OG is 5-on-5 now, practicing full contact. Hasn't been cleared yet, but that's kind of giving you an indication he's getting close. Jalen Brunson practiced most of the practice today, so we'll see if they continue to list him as questionable for tomorrow night's game against the Magic. It's a big game. Or if they take him completely off the injured list. It all depends on how he feels. But that's a good sign. If you remember, from Sunday night, 1 minute into the game till today, again, if on Sunday night at halftime I said to you, no, he'll be practicing by Thursday, right? You'd tell me I was crazy. So that's good news as well. Mitchell Robinson is running and jumping again after having ankle surgery, so we'll see how many more weeks it is before he can even make a return, possibly. And then we already know that Julius Randle's been working out with light contact, and he's getting pretty close as well. So as the Knicks are getting healthier around the NBA, the Cavs, Donovan Mitchell out again with a knee soreness. Evan Mobley's going to be out with an ankle injury. Karl-Anthony Towns is now going to be out with this meniscus injury. They want to see how severe it is. Ben Simmons, the Nets said, is done for the season. Back issue just continues to be a problem. He's got to get that fixed. So now he's going to meet with some specialists and figure out what the next plan of attack is. So, you know, this is, again, where the balance is happening right now with these injuries, but it is unbelievable. Let's get back to calls. Brian in Connecticut. What's up, Brian?
Hey, good afternoon, Han. Good afternoon, Mr. Scott.
What up?
What's happening?
How are you?
Good.
What's up, Mr. Scott? I had called before when you were hosting with Ty, and we were debating about LeBron and Jordan. Good to talk to you guys again, man. Yeah, so I was calling in regards to the injury you guys had, LeBron injured his ankle or whatever. Yep. I respect LeBron a whole lot, guys. I respect the guy a lot, longevity, everything like that. But my opinion, LeBron's a team hopper, man. And I'm sure at the end of this contract, he's probably going to try and hop to another team again. So that's why I can't respect this guy like I do Jordan, man. He team hops too much. So,
it's a different era, Brian. You know what I mean? Like I get what you're saying about how he went from team to team, and Michael obviously stayed with one. But, you know, Think about it this way, though. Eventually, he did leave the Bulls. Now, he retired, but then he came back again. Like, he did play for another team. Let's not forget that he did that.
Yeah, with the Wizards.
But I know
I
that he did it later, and I get – look, you're never going to get from me that I don't think – like, Michael Jordan, to me, is the greatest player of all time. It'll be hard for me to ever change that opinion. Unless LeBron came and won a championship with the Knicks, then I might change that opinion. But because, you know, I think eras are different. They have to be judged differently. LeBron doing what he did was him using his power as a player to control his situation rather than what Jordan had to live through, which is essentially the Bulls controlled everything. And that included when they were done with Phil Jackson, famously, Michael said, I'm not playing for any other coach. Right? Like, that's how that went down. So you got to think, you know, but all along, Michael wasn't controlling any of the player movement, any of the things that were going on. That was all Jerry Krause. He made all the decisions, and when he didn't want Kukoc on that team. They didn't want him, but he came in.
Right.
So, you know, it's just a different era. Players had or have more influence on what teams do and also what they can do. If they're not happy somewhere, as we saw in Brooklyn just recently, right? Kyrie and what he's been doing, these guys have way more power and control than players did back in the day and during Jordan's era. So I thought he was done. But, you know, LeBron still is scored 40,000 points in his career. He's had a great long career. He's still playing at a high level. And the Lakers, if he's not playing at a high level, are done. Done. Right?
Yeah, man. Like,
with a bad ankle. They're going to ask him to carry this team. And I ask again, all these people that told me that I was a hater, where's Anthony Davis? Because I was told he was a top five player. In fact, a couple of years ago, I was told he was the second best player in the league. Where is he? Where is he? That LeBron can't carry this team, but he has to. You know, he just got his ass kicked by Domantas Sabonis again.
Sabonis
has beaten him 9 straight games. So, you know, I know LeBron had to leave the game, but where are you? Where's Anthony Davis? You're an all-star. Where are you? I've asked this question a million times when everybody tries to tell me that this is, Anthony Davis is a great player and all these things that he does, and I'm just a hater and all that stuff. And I said, okay, then how come LeBron has to carry them? Why do they put so much on LeBron's shoulders? I've said it a million times. Anthony Davis is not carrying that torch. He's not taking the torch either. When LeBron James is done with the Lakers, Anthony Davis will be done with the Lakers too. Book it. They'll get him out of there as fast as they can. There's another story to get to.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that, again, on the football side of thing. So yesterday came the report from our ESPN people that Russell Wilson will be allowed to talk to teams to see if he can work out, details. All right, who wants him and all that stuff, right? He's going to be released. That's what the Broncos are going to do it. But he can go ahead and talk with teams now rather than wait until next week. Because, you know, I mean, the team is basically saying, go find your best deal. And there are some people that have said that a team that should be involved in at least considering or talking to Russell Wilson are the New York Football Giants. You don't think this that they should, though. I believe you said yesterday they shouldn't do this. And I can't understand why you wouldn't if you're a team that desperately needs a quarterback that doesn't really – if Rich Eisen is right, and he's rarely wrong about football stuff, that they are done with Daniel Jones and they don't know if they can rely on him, why wouldn't you go into the season with Russell Wilson and Daniel Jones and just see if something can come of it? And if nothing comes of it, guess what? Then you're going to be where you thought you'd be, which is I need a quarterback for 2025. Why wouldn't you do it? It's not going to cost you anything.
Yeah, but he's a huge distraction, a huge shadow that can come in and distract your football team from getting to business, whether he's the backup or not, right? I don't know if I'll be able to do that. I don't know if I would want to do that, right? I don't know if I would want to put that on my football team, right? Especially a football team that you got to put a lot of new people in and to be able to have that, because the first time anybody struggles, they're going to be calling for him because the most popular person on any football team is the backup quarterback. Now, for me, you know, you see the reports that it's mutual interest between the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they're going to talk and bring in Russell Wilson before free agency starts. You know, that's different, right? Because this is a team that has the supporting cast, has a good offensive line, good running game, receivers.
Hang on.
And it's a legitimate chance that he can start this year. Over Daniel Jones this
year. Why wouldn't he? He's healthy. Why wouldn't he?
What do you mean? They expect Daniel Jones to be ready
now,
for
training. I understand the fit part. I get that. I get that you say, well, there's more in Pittsburgh. But you're going to tell me that he wouldn't be? Think about what they've been through. Le'Veon Bell was a distraction. Chase Claypool was a distraction. Who's the kid they have now? Pickens, right? The guy that he was constantly doing things on the sideline, a distraction. You see what I'm saying? Like, they have had issues there with their personnel over the last couple of years.
Bro.
So what's the – like, you're going to bring a guy
Tomlin
in, which you know precedes him.
Mike Tomlin, and it's been interesting.
Mike Tomlin, what? You players are still acting up around there, apparently.
It's been interest there, right? This isn't just, you know, foreseen before he went to Denver. Remember, Pittsburgh was on his list.
Okay.
So it's been mutual interest. So right. That's what I'm saying. So I look at that differently.
So it doesn't make so you feel like give me a percentage that he ends up in Pittsburgh, because I also saw them say that Kenny Pickett is their guy. I've seen that too.
Yeah, but they're going to compete, and the best man win.
Okay,
you're not competing with Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones is a guy you pay $40 million. You hope that Daniel Jones like says, "Oh, y'all getting rid of me," and show you why you shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's what you're hoping, and that's what Daniel Jones is hoping for, that he can hit a home run.
Speaking of the Steelers, so you remember Mitch Trubisky was there, right?
Hmm.
You see where he ended up?
It's no place like home, Dorothy.
He went back to Pittsburgh, to Buffalo.
Yeah, no place like home, Dorothy.
So Mitch Trubisky, former number one pick, is
number
now
two.
Accepting life. All right.
Second, I just first know how people are. You know how people are.
I know. You're right. Thank you for correcting me on that one, because you're right. I keep thinking number one, but you're right. He was the first quarterback taken. He has pretty much resigned himself as a backup now, right? Career backup?
Yeah, pretty much.
Right? You're going back to Buffalo where you were a backup. You know the system there, all that stuff, and that's kind of telling you that he just knows that's what I am. So that does open up a spot as the Steelers moved on from Trubisky. They cut him. So I find that to be the Russell Wilson story is going to be very interesting. And if you're a team that needs a quarterback, while yes, there are some things that precede him we remember on our show that we found out about him having his own office and all that stuff. That was a big deal. All that stuff is one thing, but I mean, it's not like he sucks on the field. And quarterback play is critical in this league, right? And so that's why, like, when you're a team that is desperate for one, I just wondered why the Giants wouldn't even think about it. Unless, like you said, they just know already, like, this is a fait accompli. It's not even worth the time. And he's going to end up in Pittsburgh. And that's what you think, right? You believe that?
Yeah, I don't think he would have interest coming here. Like, what kind of team are they going to feel?
Yeah, I guess that's true, too.
I mean, he's trying to restore his reputation. Running for your life ain't going to restore your reputation.
Yeah. David in Hoboken is totally against it, right, David?
Yes, hello. How are you?
Good.
Good. I just want to give you guys a quick compliment and then talk about Giants and Russell Wilson for a moment.
Sure.
I listen to sports radio all the time. I've called you before. You guys are awesome. The two of you, the way you work with each other, and just so entertaining. Again, you guys blow away any sports radio guys on the station and the other station by far.
Oh, thank you. Checks in the mail, Dave.
Yeah, appreciate that, David. Right. Thank you.
You're welcome. But really, though, it's like so enjoyable, man. So you're welcome.
Thank you.
What you got about Giant. Russell Wilson?
I'm a huge Giant Yankee. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Russell Wilson. I'm a huge Giant Yankee Knick fan, but Giants. Russell Wilson, I think, is done. He has his moments. But when you mentioned it before that maybe the Giants think of it, I don't know how I'll handle it. I would be so bummed out if he ends up being with the Giants. It's enough thinking Barkley's going to be gone. I know that's a whole different thing. But we need a quarterback on a draft, and let's go already. And I gave Jones so many chances. I'm so done with Jones. And that's my thought.
So you are like, so what if, because we did this scenario yesterday. Do me a favor, turn the radio down so we don't get the reverb.
Oh, yes, you got it. I'm sorry.
Yep, no worries. So yesterday as we talked about it, it was – what do the Giants do at 6? Because you know you're not going to get one of the top guys by 3. You're going to go there's at least 3 quarterbacks going to be gone by the 3rd pick, right? So if you're the Giants, 6 is sort of like going to be the 4th best quarterback, and then you have 2 second round picks. And Bart believes that they're better off using one of the second round picks to get somebody like Michael Penix. Are you, as a Giants fan, okay with that, knowing that you're probably not getting like a guy that's going to be a plug-and-play, start-him-right-away kind of quarterback, but maybe you can hit on his experience and, you know, that he can develop into something, but then that means you still got to live with Daniel Jones for the better, you know, again, for the start of the season or maybe even the whole season. And then what if he plays well?
Right. I know. It's confusing. I'd be all right with Bart saying with a guy like Penton, just go from there. But Jones, like my, I was, my 14-year-old son is a huge Giant fan. We're watching it all the time. And he gave up on Jones quicker than I did. But once he finally came around, it was good. But then he came back again. He was awful. And then you could see the difference. I know he's so much more talented than a DeVito. But the way he just kept getting eaten alive, I know the line sucked, but I'm scared of Jones. I hope I'm wrong, and maybe he's great, but I'm so done with him. I can't stand he just doesn't have eyes behind his head. Yeah. He can't see anything. He gets creamed.
He does.
You know, and then if DeVito, young kid, gets, you know, all that pressure. I'm sorry, I just want to say this one thing. Gets all this pressure, and the kid, like, scrambles. You know, he has eyes behind his head. Like, we need that.
But Dave, he didn't have to have eyes in the back of his head because he had Andrew Thomas.
This is true, too.
That was helpful.
You know what I mean? Like, everybody played well without all the things that Daniel Jones didn't have, Saquon Barkley and Andrew Thomas, which makes a huge difference. Arguably, they're two best players. So that's why the bad thing about Daniel Jones is always been an ability for us to make an excuse for him because it's always been an excuse. And we're like, can we just see this guy so we can make an evaluation? Can we see this guy with Saquon, Andrew Thomas, and a real receiver, a real number one receiver? We've never seen that.
And what if you do that? It's such a crazy thing, right, David? I appreciate the call and the kind words too, David. Thank you. But I mean, like, Daniel Jones comes back off this injury, and Andrew Thomas is now healthy. They're going to beef up the offensive line. You know Joe Shane knows he's got to fix the offensive line or make it better, right? So that happens. Okay, no Saquon, but what if you do get like a Malik Nabers at the sixth pick and he's just a stud?
Now your first couple of weeks,
you got, you know, Darren Waller's healthy, right? Like, what do you do if Daniel Jones all of a sudden shows you the 2022 version of Daniel Jones? And you're like, oh, wait, that's right. Yeah, when this guy's healthy and upright, he's actually pretty good. Like, well, then what do you do? It's bizarre. But that's, like, as a Giants fan, what are you rooting for at that point? If you think it's clear that they are done with him, if Rich Eisen said, you know, what he said, and they know the contract, the buyer's remorse on the contract and everything else, you still got to play him, don't you? If you're not going to do that, if you're not going to do Russell Wilson, and is Justin Fields still a possibility for you then? Do you even think about that as Chicago is apparently not getting what they hope to get for him? Then what? If there's no deal for Justin Fields, and now all of a sudden you're like, well, what if you got involved in the Justin Fields game?
Hey, like, hey, you got the extra second-round draft pick.
You know what I mean?
You know, like, what I'm saying? Hey.
But doesn't that make sense? Because if you don't do anything and you return with a second-round pick quarterback, Daniel Jones, and, you know, Tommy DeVito, and Daniel Jones goes into training camp and he's healthy and he plays well, like, how could you possibly just move on from him if he has a good year? It's a good problem to have, but it's a far cry from we're done with him if he plays well. So there's, again, that whole story with the Giants, it's not as easy as you think. It's not as easy as an offseason as you think, and the whole result here, there's a lot of, like, if they were the third pick, it would be easy. Sixth pick, it's not easy. All right, we have lots of calls. We'll continue with them at 800-919-3776. Also coming up, you know what time it is. It's time for Audio Files. A lot in there, including something Cam Newton said that we got to talk about. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. Lots of things for the Giants to figure out this offseason, but one question mark which is coming into focus is the future of Saquon Barkley. Earlier this morning on DPHR on Rothenberg, Rick and Dave said, sure sounds like Saquon will be playing elsewhere next year.
So I heard this yesterday. Saquon, gone. No chance he's back.
I don't get the feeling that he's going to be back, especially when, I mean, he's the one guy that you look at. With all these running backs available, it feels like he's the one that might get the most attention.
Right, because there'd probably be one team like the Texans or the Ravens that's willing to pay him 10 or 11, and the Giants are not willing to pay, not Saquon specific, they're not willing to pay any running back that kind of money.
Right.
So he's going to be gone, and pretty good chance that Xavier McKinney also not back.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Bart and Han, Allen on Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. All right, calls are 800-919-3776. We'll continue with those momentarily. But right now, as you know, it's time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio Files.
The Audio Files.
All right, Audio Files will begin with some Aaron Rodgers, who is talking again on different podcasts and whatnot. This one is on the Keep Hammering Collective. And Rodgers asked if the Jets are a title contender.
You know, I like our guys. I like our coaching staff. We just got to put it all together. We got a fan base that's super, super hungry and desperate for wins. And I think we got the right guys. We got a good group of really talented young guys. We have the rookies of the year from a couple years ago and Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner, top corner and top receiver. We got a couple guys behind him. We're also incredible rookies and coming off great second years. Jermaine Johnson had a big year for us as defensive end. And Breece Hall, our starting running back, who had a phenomenal year catching the ball, had like 600 yards receiving, I think, and had a ton of yards rushing for us, and he's a game breaker. So we got to shore up the offensive line a little bit to add a couple guys there, maybe get another receiver. But I like our chances, and you know, I feel like if I'm out there, we always got a chance.
If I'm out there, we always got a chance. But he went rapid fire around the whole team too, right? Didn't miss a beat.
Absolutely. Like he's dialed in, man. He's ready to go, man. He's trying to win. He knows his legacy's on the line.
That's the way to put it, legacy on the line. Meantime, how about Giants' future on the line? Xavier McKinney. With Up and Adams, Kay Adams' podcast, asked about his contract situation with the Giants.
Well, obviously, we've had talks, and you know, we're trying to figure something out. But I'm just pretty much being as open as I can. You know, that's I've expressed it as much as I can if I wanted to be back. But you know, ultimately, it's not really my all up to me. So it's something that you know we both had to come to a mutual agreement. You know, like I said, hopefully we can get something done. But if not, I understand it's business.
Doesn't sound like he's going to be back. And the Giants are going to be looking for a safety, too. So yeah, no, I mean, Saquon. But they don't franchise him. Xavier McKinney, it sounds like he's on his way out as well. Like, it's interesting what the Giants are doing here. But he doesn't. That doesn't sound to me like he feels like something is going to happen. He sounds a little disappointed.
And he probably wants to, you know, at this point, you have to go out there and go to the market. And, you know, the issue is, like, does the Giants decide to say, you know what, well, let's try and draft a young safety and let's try and go get either Hyde or Poyer, who just got cut from the Buffalo Bills, that Daboll knows very well. They just priced themselves out because Buffalo's so far over the cap. Can you bring in some veteran leadership, you know, from those guys who have played at a high level but has made their money and can get them at a discount?
He's still only 24 years old. I mean, he wants
to he wants it. He wants his bag back. Well, 24 years old, it's time for him to get paid. But mm-hmm. the Giants might say, hey, let's draft a guy that we can develop exactly. that's cheap, and then let's go get a guy that's a veteran in leaders. Like, hire Poyer and Hyde outside of Bates and you know, what the tandem that Cincinnati used to have 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. They were the best safety tandem in all of football. And now they're still like, you know, Poyer got paid. He kind of held out, got paid. If you can go out and get them on 10 cents on a dollar, then now you just brought in not only leadership and you know, leadership on the defense for them, but a high football acumen to be able to kind of run. And then you saved money. And you draft one, you can develop that one behind. And then you're trying to find ways to become cheap at certain positions that you don't consider premium positions.
Right.
And whether they want to consider it or not, with guys like Quadre Diggs getting cut, yep. guys like Jamal Adams getting cut, guys like Hyde and Poyer getting cut, you can go out there and get a guy that can plug and play for at least a year or two and not have to pay a lot of money.
Who was the guy that the Jets signed last year and then he never played? He got hurt.
Yeah, Chuck Clark.
Chuck Clark, right? And now that was a one-year deal, right? Isn't he a free agent?
Yeah, he's free again.
That's amazing. Yeah, so, well, we'll see. The Giants, there's going to be a lot of changes there, clearly. Meanwhile, listen to this from Dalton Schultz. He was on with Pat McAfee. And he was talking about how, when you play for the Cowboys, it's like you are basically an animal in a zoo.
It feels like much more, I don't want to say college because it's not. The focus is just football, you know what I mean? And going back and like telling some people like how being around the Cowboys practice facility and, you know, game day, describing some of the interactions and stuff that you see on a day-to-day basis, like surprised a lot of people. They're like, holy crap, like that actually happens like at a practice facility and think it's normal. And then you come to a place like this.
Like what? You don't have to out anything, but like, what are you?
No, dude, it's just like there's people literally going on tours while you're listening in the weight room. They've got a one-way mirror for people to like look at. Like it's a zoo, dude. Like, there's people tapping on the glass, like trying to get people's attention as they're doing, you know, power cleans or whatnot. And it's just, it's different. And I mean, that's the brand that they've built. That's, you know, that's what Jerry Jones likes. That's the way that they run things. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, you know, you don't realize like how many, you know, eyeballs and how much that can maybe, you know, distract from, you know, stuff just in the locker room, being in the facility, until you go somewhere else and you're like, holy crap, like, dude, there's none of that.
But
like two-way glass, like you've been interrogated.
People are going through while you're like, you're in the weight room, you're working out, and there's people like, you know, not like, hey, Bart, can't wait, Bart.
I love you.
Like,
how about the Cowboys?
Is that a little strange? Like, do you find that to be, is that a bad thing?
Yeah, I've never seen anybody going on a tour while we, you know, all right, I've never seen that. They might come to our practice, but they don't come in when we're there. When they go on tours.
But can that be a bad thing, though? Like, could you just feel like, can we just got, like
it's just like, God, you feel so like you can feel like, yo, again? Like, what are we doing?
Like,
but you don't know that if that's the only place you've been. So Michael Parsons don't know any different.
That's true.
Right, but guys that come from other places, like, what are we doing, man? Like, we just trying to make money every minute on the minute off of us.
All right, let's continue on audio
Here's
files.
Here's Michael Parsons' room, and this is his mouthpiece. Look at the saliva.
This is his mouthpiece. Brian Windhorst on First Take today talking about the news of this morning. A lot of injury news in the NBA this morning. And the biggest one, well, Ben Simmons being done for the season in Brooklyn's a pretty big headline. He needs to get more issues, more advisement on his back issues. But also, Karl-Anthony Towns has a meniscus injury, and they're trying to figure out how much they're going to miss, how much time he could miss for a team that was one of the best in the Western Conference. Here's Windy on First Take.
Karl Towns adds a level of spacing and scoring from that four spot that you almost can't find anywhere in the league, especially with a defensive player like Rudy Gobert. So this is a very concerning development for the Timberwolves. And if I'm the Western Conference, especially that top four, I am watching very closely for how this Towns injury ends up playing out, because it could have a huge impact on the Wolves' ability to finish the season strong.
And you know what else is going to have a huge impact on Bart? This summer. I told you, I've been telling you that he's that guy that you're wondering when Minnesota has to face the new level of tax and the contracts and his big $230 million contract. Do they try to move that? And now all of a sudden, if he's got this knee thing and it affected the way he finished the season, all that stuff,
it's always been hurt. He's hurt a couple years ago.
Yeah,
missed
but
a lot
he
missed a lot of time.
Early in his career, he played like every game. Like, he never missed time. And now, obviously, it's starting to catch up. But this injury, though, could change the way you feel about potential moves in the summer. So certainly a story to watch. Dante DiVincenzo. So, you know, the Roommate Show podcast, which Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson have every Thursday. They release it at 3. They always wait for our show to end, then they release it. And
thanks.
Each week, so this week is Ben Stiller. That should be a good one. It'd be really funny. Ben Stiller, huge Knicks fan. But they had Dante DiVincenzo on, of course, another Villanova guy, and telling stories and whatnot, and it's always funny. So here's Dante talking about the first time he met Josh Hart.
We're in the weight room. I like blacked out during this moment. So like we were arguing, said something. I had like a weight in my hand. I don't know what I had. It was like a plate. It was like, and I was like, say it again. I'm gonna swing this at you. And he was like, no, you won't. Set it again. And I swung the plate. Next thing you know, I blacked out. We just started fighting in the weight
room. You swung the plate.
I did.
You swung the plate.
I did. Thing was, our weight room was getting renovated. We were in the student weight room. So like we were upstairs. Like other students were in in the weight room. It wasn't just like, oh, it's just, you know. This is a private matter. Like, this is no in the school weight room.
The summer. Last day of summer.
Yeah.
And then we all have to go into the locker room. Mike Nardi was like our GA at the time. And he's like, y'all going to like squash it or whatever. Dante was like, I'm at
Bill. He had a plate. Like, what do you think? What plate was in his hand?
Probably.
No way it was a 25.
Yeah, you can't swing that fast.
You can't swing.
But you know what? You can't really
He's
hold
it. He's not swinging a 45 either.
But you really can't hold a plate like that. You know, it depends on the type of plate. If there's a plate with the handle in it where you can put your hands through the middle of it,
now,
then I would say
now
it was a 10.
Was it metal? Like, was it?
No, it's just got it. Yeah, it's metal.
It had to be the rubber ones, right?
No, it's metal. Like, you're not picking up no. Like, that's like a disc.
These guys, though, it's like amazing because they're so close.
I might say, you know what? I might need to kick your ass, but I ain't probably teach you a lesson off of that one. Let me holler at you, dog.
Like, think about it. These guys are so close, yet they tell stories about when they first met that they like literally had issues at the beginning. They had beef at the beginning, ended up appreciating each other, and now they're like brothers.
Well, that just speaks to Jay Wright and the competitive environment, the type of alpha dogs that he brought in there. When dogs come in there and they first meet, they're going to scratch and mark their territory because they're not going to relinquish the territory.
All right, last but not least on Audio Files, I want you to hear something that Cam Newton said on the Big Pod. And it's something that with you as a former athlete talking about your sport that I'm wondering, and I want you to be honest with me because I have gotten this, I have heard this. Do you agree with what Cam Newton is saying?
We're living in the golden age of athlete-generated content more than any other time in sports. People tune in to podcasts. This is a podcast epidemic damn near. You know what I'm saying? Everybody got it. You get a podcast. But the truth of the matter is, people are leaning into receiving their content in a different way, digesting it in a different way. If I want to hear about basketball, I want to hear it from Shaquille O'Neal, respectfully, not Stephen A. Smith. And Stephen A. is a good guy. Am I a fan of Scott Van Pelt? Am I a fan of, you know, the rest in peace of Stuart Scott? Yeah. Do I want to suppress their road to that? No, by no means. But if you're talking about real emotions, real preparations, real feelings, real experiences, you're going straight to the source.
Is that how you feel?
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. Right? I think that's what, you know, Club Shay Shay is all about. I think that's what Gilbert Arenas, that's what Up in Smoke is all about. Right, it's, you know, we've heard so many stories and, you know, explanations from people that watch the game and that, you know, that cover the game, but, you know, are stewards of the game. But we have, you know, we never had so much access to hear from the actual people that played the game through their eyes. And I think you get it's like Hard Knocks, right? They want the real. Mm-hmm. They want the uncut, right? They want the DiVincenzo, this would happen. Like, you know, like, oh, man, that's dope. Would you rather hear it coming from DiVincenzo and Josh Hart, or you want to hear somebody reporting from, like, hey, they got into an altercation.
You mean me?
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's still
you
space.
Mean, which, it's still, would you rather
it's still,
hear it from?
It's still space for both. Right. But I think people are leaning to, hey, we can get the raw uncut version, and we can get it when we want it. We don't have, you know, we can just listen to their podcast and see what's new.
I get what Cam's saying, and there are a lot of times where, like the value of hearing a former player give you the former player perspective is definitely there. It's always been there, though. It's just that we are in an age of podcasts that never, like, that never used to exist before.
It's so easy to start one.
This is new.
It's easy to do.
Yeah. But this is new now. We've never had this all those years ago. So, like, it's a new thing, and that's a good thing because it adds to the content.
A balance.
But I don't think it replaces
all
content.
Not at all.
I
not
think
at all.
There's still there's a need for that balance.
Because
you guys, by the way, are very good at protecting each other. And sometimes you don't always give the whole truth and nothing but the truth.
What
sometimes
do you mean?
You don't have the same passion.
To quote the great Ray, what do you mean, you guys?
Well, I'm just saying. There are some. That's what I love about you, though, is you're not one of those guys that will do that.
Yeah,
and that's important.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are a lot of guys and former players that they
get
don't
the edited
wanna,
version. They get
they
the edited
criticize.
Version.
Yeah, they don't want to criticize. They don't want to because they don't want to look like they're hater. You know that whole thing about
well,
hater.
Well, Cam with Brock Purdy. That's him giving his true assessment.
Yeah, and that's what makes him valuable. Again, Shannon, you know, he's valuable for that stuff. There are people that do it.
And it's people that can do it both because, listen, you guys are trained at being able to answer the right questions or ask the right questions and
there
be able
go.
To do it from a – you know, we're not trained.
Help create the conversation.
So, right. So we're doing it from a standpoint of just talking. We're not mindfully – some of us do it, right? You know, guys that – you know, rather Nate Burleson, who has got an opportunity to develop that skill and learn from real journalists and real.
Boomer Esiason has become elite at that.
Right. So those are guys
asking
that have
the
gotten
questions,
the training,
but
so
also they, being able to tell the stories from perspective.
Right.
Like there's not many guys that can do both ends of it, and I think there's very few. And those are a couple of them.
I'll sum it up like this: like when Shannon interviewed Cat Williams, it was no follow up challenging what he was saying.
Yep.
That wasn't Barbara Walters, Oprah Winfrey type of interview. It's kind of like a guy just kind of telling us whatever we want. Then we verify and figure it out after the fact.
There's no accountability in that interview at all.
Exactly.
Right.
So to that standpoint, I think some of the best interviews have accountability and it has that tension that, hey, the person interviewing you or talking to you can say something that rubs you the wrong way and you have to defend yourself and catch you in lies.
Or at least just keeps you on point. Like,
right.
When you go somewhere and you're like, no. Like that's not what happened.
Explain that because reports say that from this, Baba, I read this article and said that this happened.
All right, let's tell you what. That's audio files. We're late on this, but I'm curious what people think of this. 800-919-3776. Because Cam's right. We are in that age now where there's a lot more athletes who have the ability to sit in front of a microphone. It's very loose. It's not as, again, TV can be very controlled. Radio can be very controlled. A lot of these podcasts are very relaxed and it's just conversational, but everybody has one. And it's, you know, a lot more athletes are saying, and I had one that I guess apparently.
Well, Draymond, right?
It came at me about, you know, because of I didn't play in the NBA, so why can I talk about the NBA? He's a former NBA player, did that to me. And I was just like, because I covered the league for 20 years. Like, I think you need that balance. You don't have to have played. Now, again, there's value
to
in
be
the
able
player.
To interpret.
But it doesn't necessarily mean that the only people that can talk about something is the player. So how do you feel as the consumer? Let's get into the calls next. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Let's take Tony in New Jersey. Tony, what's happening?
Hi, Ann. How are you? How are you guys? Love you guys, Bart and Scott. I've been listening to you guys for so long, and I just wanted to add to your point when you just about the Cam Newton podcast remarks. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to basically say that one of the things that I love about your guys' show, and I don't really listen to anybody else, is that you get the perspective. What makes you two unique is, and funny and hilarious and informative at the same time, is that you have the player perspective, the inside raw and uncut experiences that Bart is able to bring, and you bring in the journalistic perspective, the possibilities and the way that it can be viewed from a journalist's mindset. So I think that, like, you guys are really the epitome of what you just discussed, because, again, you both share those qualities. You're different in the sense of where you came up, but you blend it perfectly together. So
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I think I totally agree. I totally agree with Cam, because Cam is bringing up a very great point. Us as consumers, we want to listen to those raw and uncut and unfiltered moments. That So when Bart speaks, like, I'm listening intently, because you don't get that. Like, you just listen to the reporters, but the reporters are also intriguing and necessary, because you guys have the unique perspectives, the possibilities. You dive into the details, and so I think that's what makes you two perfect. So kudos to both of you guys.
Tony, I appreciate it. I mean, that's really been the goal of the show, right? Like, since we started, was the idea of having that balance of, you know, Bart being able to tell the stories from his. When I was working with Rick, it was the same thing. I mean, Rick had the experience as a player, as the athlete's mentality, and that's something that, again, the rest of us, those listening, like, you don't know what the athlete thinks. You want to get into the mind of in any moment that something happens, big moments in sports, whatever it is, or free agency and how teams treat you. You heard Bart the other day. He tells you how it feels. It's Saquon Barkley, oh, the Giants are not treating him well. The Giants must hate him. You know, just goes there, because that's how an athlete will think, because he puts all those pieces together. And then, of course, you know, from my perspective and all the years, I mean, it's, you know, well over 20 years of coverage of New York teams as a sports writer, as a broadcaster. It is the same thing, the experience of dealing with these teams and dealing with players and knowing stories and moments that have happened that go beyond, you know, again, Bart, NFL, you know, in his locker rooms, in Baltimore, in New York. But, you know, I have covered a lot of different things, so there's a lot more of that to it. I think, you know, that's the kind of balance we try to have on the show, and also have some fun with it as well. But, you know, I do think that stuff's important. You have to have both. And so, like, the example I was giving is, I was on Get Up last week. They asked me, as you do on Get Up, they ask you questions, like, make statements about this stuff. And one of them was, you know, Wembanyama had a great game the night before, and they wanted to talk about it. And I just said, this guy has everything it takes to be the next face of the league, because not only is he a compelling player with, you know, his size and everything, and certainly his talent is unique, but he's also got charisma, and we saw it on display that night after the game. And so I just did this whole thing, and then Get Up put it on all social media platforms, and it did very well. And people will agree and disagree, and that's what we're supposed to do, create that. And Stephon Marbury, who I haven't talked to in maybe 15 years, for some reason commented in the comments, which is strange for a grown man to do that, especially somebody who has accomplished all that Stephon Marbury has accomplished, and then just called me out as, I'm not a hooper, and why do I have the platform to speak about the game? And I didn't respond to it, because it's not really worth my time. He knows where to find me if he wants to discuss this personally. I have no issues with Stephon Marbury at all. Like, none. Like, I think I've been very complimentary of him post-career and everything he's done in China. But it was strange to me that he would just use that comments section as a platform to try to take me down because I didn't play in the NBA. And it was odd. And it just, and then I looked at him thinking, and then his, like, one of the lines he had was like, now we have the pen. And I'm like, but everybody should have something to say. And if I have a passion for your sport and you don't respect it, that's a personal issue. That has nothing to do with my role. If I've covered the league as long as I have, so you tell me Michael Wilbon should never talk about the NBA, didn't play in it. Stephen A., never played in it, shouldn't talk about it, right? Is that what you're telling me? Woj shouldn't, because he never played in the league, right? Windy, Brian Windhorst, never played in the league, right? Like, he can't talk about it either?
Maybe,
like,
never played basketball. Maybe some of them never played basketball.
It's a fair point. Like, this is so that's what I mean by, like, what Cam said, pitch perfect. But what Marbury put in a comment, is like, that's to me, like, that's ridiculous to say that I had, what right do I have to say? Here's my right. I love the game. I've covered it for over two decades. And I think I've earned that right for all the experience that I have. And for you to say that I can or shouldn't, or try to call me out on social media, first of all, very small. You're a grown-ass man. But second of all, sounds more like a personal issue than it does about the business.
Well, he's in China, so it's only certain things that he can respond to. He can't get a lot of internet stuff. It doesn't even go out.
I don't know. It just was strange to me. So the Cam thing, when I heard it, I was like, well, that makes more sense. And I completely agree with that. Power Hour coming up next. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. Well, with the way last season played out for the Giants, lots of revisionist history on how the team approached last offseason. Earlier this morning on DPH Ron Rothenberg, Dave said Giants ownership was never going to move on from Daniel Jones after going to the playoffs a year ago.
I've heard talk shows saying, you know, if the Giants were really smart after he had that great year and they beat Minnesota, they would have moved on. How could you do that? How could you win a playoff game, have the guy have the game of his career, and not give it another kick down the road? I don't think you could do that. I think it's very unrealistic.
Well, I just don't know what the other option would have been, especially knowing how much ownership. See, that's what people got to take into account, too, how much ownership likes Daniel Jones. They were brought in to fix Daniel Jones. So you're going to tell me you fix him, we win a road playoff game, and then you're going to be able to convince the owner that it's time to walk away? Yeah, that's why they brought them in.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.